Well, good morning. The time is just about come, and so let us begin. We wanted to take a moment here to share announcements. We welcome you to the house of the Lord today, and we apologize for canceling the upcoming events of this week. Council meeting and the picnic are both going to be canceled. And so maybe we'll be able to do the council meeting here sometime soon, and when we're ready, we'll let you know when that is. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Deb?
I just want to let everybody know that I have decided to do the calendars this year. I'm a little leery because a lot of my sales came from my work, and I no longer work. So please do sign up how many calendars, because that's how many I'm ordering. I don't want to get stuck with a lot of calendars. If they're $7 still, and the money's going to go towards either Sunday school or VBS, wherever it's most needed. So again, please sign up, and they are $7.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. They're beautiful. Any other announcements? Let's begin our worship, and we'll hear this prelude. Welcome back, Jerry. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be singing, you, praising you, Selah. We want to praise God now as we join together in song, and then we'll pray. And so this first hymn is number 110, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand and share our voices in song. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, it is good to be able to come into your house this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We ask the Holy Spirit would move in power and that you might teach us anew from your word today. And so, Lord, have your way, we ask, in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We want to take time here to share our joys and concerns. And so what is on your heart today that you'd like the community of faith to know?
I'd just like to say it's a joy to be back, and I do want to thank everybody for your prayers, cards, messages, and I'm doing great, and I thank God for that.
Praise God.
Amen. And I'm second that on us, too.
Thank you, Linda. Good to have you back. I believe you're having a birthday next Sunday, Deb's Saturday. It's a happy birthday, and we send our love to Bob. I understand he's feeling better and continue to get stronger. Yes?
I'll continue. Ricky and Jenny. Jenny's in the hospital since Thursday. And, okay. She's got to go Monday for a biopsy of the kidneys. And Alan, continue prayers with Alan and Alice.
Okay. Thank you. Others?
I did want to add, as far as prayer, my friend Velma is going tomorrow for surgery, and I would like to keep her on the prayer list. And a couple people in our neighborhood is having surgeries and different things going on, so I'd just like to keep, you know, the neighborhood as a whole.
Okay.
We want to keep the situation over in Afghanistan. Also, the problem that they have with the tornado, I believe it was, the hurricane in Haiti, the damage and so forth that was took place, and several other places that they've been some very difficult times and situations. And also the hurricane that's heading toward New York.
Yes.
And that could be very devastating as well. And I think I even heard in Tennessee they got tremendous amount of rain, that a tremendous amount of flooding, and there were lives lost. So we need to keep all of those in our prayers. The Lord knows who they are.
Amen.
Certainly extend His blessing.
Actually, this earthquake in Haiti was worse than the one previously, and so there's a lot of devastation. Also, I received word from Marie Brown, a missionary there in she got word from the pastor in Vietnam. Vietnam has declared martial law because of COVID. So they're having a real hard time. They're not allowed to go out. So please keep the brothers and sisters in the faith there in your prayers, as well as other places in the world having some very strong persecution and difficulties right now. Others?
Just be able to keep Wilton Smith, too.
Yes, okay.
And Tammy.
You were talking to Tammy earlier there.
Yeah.
And
you know, sometimes we forget caregivers because, just like in Tammy's situation, she sees Wilton declining, but what can she do?
Yeah.
Other than pray and be there and give love and comfort, but that's a dream on a caregiver. So just pray for her for strength and understanding and
feel that she's not alone. Yeah. 24/7, yep. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. And if you'd like to kneel or remain seated. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come together with like-minded believers. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and what you've done for us, and for the message by Dr. David Jeremiah this morning. We We lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up you, Christ, in our presence. Thank you for making intercession for us. We can come boldly into the throne of grace. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And so for birthdays and for recovery from sickness, Lord, we thank you for those who are able to be back today. We pray for those that want to be here and couldn't. And we ask, Lord, you would just bless, give strength, give healing, whether it's been surgeries. And we think of those that are coming up with having procedures done. God, would you move in the surgeon's hand? Would you knit everything together and grant healing and wholeness? God, we pray for the current situation here with the pandemic worldwide. With the increase in positivity right here in Frederick County, almost 7, we pray that that would come down, Lord. We pray that those who are sick would get well. And we want to thank you, Lord, for those who are on the front lines, for our healthcare workers. And we know that it has been difficult, and they are at their limits. Oftentimes, many hospitals are full to capacity. And so, Lord, just pray that you would provide, give extra strength where needed. We pray, Father, for those that are still experiencing symptoms that keep them from coming to church. And so, Lord, help them to be able to get well and to come back. We pray for Jenny in the hospital, Lord, for Alan, for Rick, all of those, Lord, that just need a special touch of your care. And so pray for good results here for this kidney biopsy. We, Lord, we thank you for those that are continuing to recover from home. And so we just remember Steve Wolf. And we thank you, Father, for Wilton and Tammy. We pray that you would meet their needs. We ask that you would bless Ralph and be with Velma. Be with those others that are on our list, Lord. We so many different names and situations, and we know that you know each one. And so we just pray, Father, that you would bless. Comfort those who've lost loved ones with the Peters family, and we pray you would meet their needs. We think of our shut-ins, Lord. Those are in the nursing homes. Aunt Laura, Betty Schuff at home, David Philpott in West Virginia. We think of others, Lord. We just ask, Lord, you'd help them to know that we're thinking of them and praying for them. You're told to pray for our leaders, Lord. And so we lift up our president, his cabinet, and vice president, all who hold positions of a power and authority in our country. Lord, give them wisdom. Help them to make right decisions that we might live lives that are peaceable. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. Would you move in a mighty way, Lord, with the collapse of the Afghan government? We know there are many enemies of Israel around the world. We pray, Father, that this would not be a place where terrorism would be launched from. So pray you would keep our military safe. Be with Elijah and Caleb. Think of others who are serving, Lord. We ask that you may bless and move in their situations. Help them to continue to serve and to do their jobs well. We think of our governors, our mayors, leaders in our cities, leaders in our churches, Lord. Help our churches in these difficult times. Help the deacons, and we pray, Lord, your will would be done in each community of faith. We pray your blessings on our missionaries and those that are serving around the world. We think of orphans and widows. Lord, bless many who are reaching out to provide for them. We think of our young people, Lord. And so we ask your blessings on organizations like Youth for Christ and Young Life and others who are trying to steer our young people in the right way. Lord, I pray your word would go forth in power, that it would meet all that it can do and transform lives, change our future, meet the needs, we pray, God. Bless this community of faith, Lord. Each family is represented here. I pray that you keep a hedge protection around us and that your will be go forth and that you would help us to do it this week. Lord, help us to be mindful of the day in which we live. And so we pray that you would keep us sharing and talking about you, sharing our faith, that others might know of the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I ask you to turn to our last hymn here, or the middle hymn here, 487, and it is Amazing Grace. Please stand and join me in singing. You may be seated. Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you have promised your servant David, my father, saying, You shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to their way, and they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his application. O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer of which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, My name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds indeed would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you that you are our temple. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. What would you say is the most beautiful building in the world? What is the most beautiful building? What is that most beautiful building around here? Some might say it's a church up there, at Emmitsburg, the Catholic Cathedral there. What is the most beautiful building that you've ever seen? When I was a kid, I thought it was the Lincoln Memorial. I can remember as we were going to the up the steps, walking up the straight steps, and seeing this huge statue and the columns and. And it just seemed like a wonderful place, and it was probably the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then later on in school, we were learning about history and other countries and stuff, and I saw a picture of the Taj Mahal in India. Maybe that might be something that you're familiar with. You've seen at least a picture of it. Many people regard this as the most magnificent marble mausoleum. It's supposed to be the most beautiful building in the world with its fountains and gardens. It was built in 1632 to 1643 in memory of the Mongol Emperor Shah Jahan's favorite wife. If that was what his favorite wife got, I wonder what his least favorite wife got. You know, I've never seen the Taj Mahal in person, but I understand it is quite something, and it is a tourist attraction if you go to India. I remember I once tried to draw a picture of it, and so I must have been fascinated with it at one point. Last week I mentioned that I like architecture, and we were focusing on the seven pillars of wisdom, which I have here at the front, talking about Proverbs 9 and James 3:17. And so continuing with that theme, I'd like for us today to consider another building, a building that perhaps was even far grander and greater, and to consider a little bit more of what Solomon had to say. It is said that he was the wisest king who ever reigned. It's said that of the temple of Jesus' time, which was known as Herod's temple, that he who has not seen the temple in Jerusalem has never seen a beautiful building. The temple in Jerusalem. According to John 2:20, it took 46 years to build. And a contemporary Josephus, he writes here his regards of history, and from that we see that he said that everything to delight the eye and the heart was presented by the outward appearance of the temple. This was quite a grand building. So much so that pilgrims made it a point to go up to Jerusalem at least once a year for the Passover. It was quite something to see. Herod made it grand. And we know that in 70 AD that it was predicted that it was totally destroyed. In Mark 13, the disciples we read here asked Jesus about it. Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." We know that Jesus was right, for in 70 AD the Romans under Titus laid waste to Jerusalem, carried off its great treasures, and destroyed everything. And so the beautiful temple that Herod the Great built, he doubled the size of the Temple Mount. It was totally destroyed. You've probably seen or heard about the Western Wall. We sometimes wrongly call it the wailing wall because of the prayers that are go out there. But I'm sure you probably have seen pictures of it. I have one here that I'd like to show. This is the black and white is a before scene taken about 100 years ago. And then you can see a current picture of the wall. And as you know, Jews go there to pray, and it's custom to approach the wall with reverence. And you can write a little prayer and stick in the cracks of those great stones. And then you're supposed to kind of back away, not turning your back on the wall. And so this is a sacred site. And however, this was just the retaining wall that's left. All of the temple is gone. And this is the closest point that Jews can get to the original site known as the Temple Mount. I was there in 2012, and I was amazed at some of the stones. And actually, if you go underground a little bit further, they've dug out some of the tunnels underneath there, and you can see these massive stones. There's one stone probably about the size of this sanctuary. One stone. How they got those into place. And that's just the retaining walls. And so can you imagine how great and wonderful the building itself was? Traditionally, the Temple Mount is known to be the place where the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7. And it's also thought to be the place where Abraham tried to sacrifice Isaac, Mount Moriah. And it is the site where years later David purchased for 50 shekels of silver because he wanted to build an altar to the Lord. God put it in his heart that he wanted to build a house after David settled the kingdom and had a place for himself. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God said, no, not you. You have too much blood on your hands, but your son will. And so David spent the rest of his lifetime gathering materials, and Solomon then took 7 years to build that first temple. It was a place of God's presence to dwell on the earth. Our scripture for today is about the dedication day, the dedication of that great temple, and the prayer that is associated with that special occasion. And so I'd like for us to think about what that beautiful temple must have been like. Wouldn't it have been something to have seen? I think religious buildings in a whole are very beautiful. They're beautiful buildings. We've seen some here in our area, and the National Cathedral down in D.C., I understand, is amazing. If you've been in any kind of cathedrals over in Europe, it's just amazing to see the high ceilings and the decorated insides. It's just astounding. Sacred buildings, temples, synagogues, and churches, I think, have some unique features about them. And yet, I like the plain buildings as well. And so I love this Brethren Meeting House. You know, this is one of the few original meeting houses that are left. Too much has changed from its original building in 1853. And so I got thinking, I wonder what that dedication prayer might have been like. On Christmas Day, what did your forefathers say to dedicate this building? I don't know if they planned it, or if they meant to, or if you even thought about it, but you know that you're facing east. We think about this on Easter morning when we're standing out here with the sunrise service, and the sun's coming up right out here, and so you're actually facing the east. Well, synagogues are planned that way. They're planned to face Jerusalem, mausoleums, mosques are facing Mecca, which is also in the east. And actually, if you look at the map, Israel, Jerusalem, is a little bit northeast of here. So about probably in that direction you would go and get to Israel. That's 52 degrees north. And notice in Solomon's prayer here, he talks about facing towards this place, facing towards this temple. And it was years later than Daniel's practice, when Daniel got into trouble for praying. He prayed three times a day. He would pray towards the east. I remember when we had made a stop in one of the places in Israel, we had an Arab bus driver. And there were several buses there in the parking lot. And we had gotten off the bus and had gone to see the site. And I had left something on the bus, so I came back to the bus. And between the buses, our bus driver had rolled out his prayer mat, and he was praying facing the east while he was killing time. It was his time for prayer, and he spent that time wisely. Imagine if you were there that day. Imagine what it had been like. I'd like for you to hear a little bit more what the Bible has to say about that. And we find those in the 8th chapter. So I want to read the 8th chapter for you. And listen to the events. Think about the sights, the sounds, what you would hear, what you have seen. And also particularly to his prayer. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. Then they brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, in all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the children congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for the multitude. Then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord in its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark in its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, since the day I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, but I have chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have fulfilled the position of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and your mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father, and you have both spoken with your mouth and filled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, and they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there. And you may hear the word of the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone sins against his neighbor or is forced to take out an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act, and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, bringing his way on his head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflicted them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on their land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all of his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country, for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy, whatever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy, far or near, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, We have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to your fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace. That your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses, when you brought out our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and cause his people Israel as each day may require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments all at this day. Then the king and all of Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there is, he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. At that time, Solomon held a feast, all of Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the 8th day he sent the people away, and he blessed the king, and he went to their tents joyful, glad of heart, that for all the good that the Lord had done for his servants David and for Israel his people. That was a mouthful, right? But what amazing, wonderful testimony to what God has done. Imagine if you'd been there that day. Imagine if you had celebrated in that. Wouldn't that be quite a dedication? We get excited about graduations and weddings, and we throw feasts for dedications, but what a day of dedication that was. In Solomon's prayer, he acknowledges God's greatness. He says, you know, there's no God like you. All the other gods are just stone and idols. But there's no God like you. He reviews the promises that God kept. And then he requests that the promise that's made to David, a king would continue in the line of David on the throne, would be fulfilled. And we know that that promise also was kept, because it was out of David's loins that we have Jesus in the line of that family. And so Jesus is the eternal king. And Solomon regarded the prayer that was being made. Would you hear our prayer? Would you hear the prayers that are made toward this place and in this temple? He asked God to keep his eyes on the temple, to hear and to forgive. And so when anyone sins against their neighbor, when the people were defeated, when there was no rain, when there was a famine or disease, when there was a stranger among them, when they went out to battle, or when there was just simply sin and they confessed, God would hear and he would forgive. There's a similar account to this in 2 Chronicles 6. And there it says that there was a special scaffolding that was erected for this purpose. And so can you imagine that all of the children of Israel, we're talking thousands of people, and so it'd been maybe something like we'd see at the inauguration of the president in the Capitol, that there'd be something that would be high up, and Solomon was able to be seen and heard by many. And in his prayer, he makes seven very distinct petitions. He asks God to continue in his presence and with his protection on his people. He asks for condemnation of the wicked and vindication of the righteous. He asks that there be deliverance from the enemy upon confession of sin. He asks for divine help in days of calamity. He asks for divine help for the devout foreigner, for victory in future battles, and for national forgiveness. This was quite a prayer. This was quite a dedication day. And God showed up. God showed up in a cloud of glory. This is probably the same cloud that filled the tabernacle earlier. Remember, the tabernacle was the first place of worship for the children of Israel. It was mobile. They could take it down and reassemble it wherever it was. And within the middle of that was the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And when that was set up, the cloud of God's presence would be there during the day. And then at night, there was a pillar of fire. And this led the children through the wilderness for the 40 years. And so the tabernacle was the focal point of worship. And all the tribes of Israel then gathered around the tabernacle when they set tent. This was the presence of God, known as Shekinah glory. We think of a Holy Spirit. And we read in the New Testament then, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word dwelt there means tabernacled. God's tabernacled with us when Jesus came in the flesh. We beheld his glory, the glory that was full of grace and truth. And so we see Jesus in the midst of this, and even within the Holy Spirit within us. We're known as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're to keep our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. I think about Solomon's prayer here, you know, his concept about God. This wasn't, as some people like to allude to, that Solomon was just kind of lifting up some tribal deity, or that he built this temple merely to house some idol or some oracle or some special thing. Yes, the Ark of the Covenant was put inside there. But this was a place that he was preparing. He had such a beautiful palace, and he wanted to offer something to God, a place that God could dwell on earth. And he acknowledges that, you know, hey, this little temple that I built is nothing for such a great and grand God as you are. There's no way that you could, your whole presence dwell in here. And yet God honors the prayer with a cloud of his presence to show the people that God is present. The God of the creator of the eternal universe. God was present. Dedication day. He mentions in his prayer the heaven of heavens. And we think of, you know, Paul talks about the third heaven. And so there's, you know, the heavens is kind of it's the sky and our atmosphere above the earth. And then there's the heavens that we refer to as the stars and the galaxy, which goes on for eons, trillions of light years into the universe. And then above that is the heaven of heavens, the place where God dwells, the place where God's throne is now. And we know that after the resurrection, Jesus Christ, as David pointed out this morning, ascended up to the heavens and is seated at the right hand of God. His work is finished. And he is sat down on the throne of God, at the right hand of God. It's interesting that John says in Revelation 21:20, it says, I saw no temple in the city. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. Saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to be in the presence of God, in a sense of worship. And Jesus is seated there, making intercession for us, for he knows his sheep. He knows the hearts and the minds of men. You know, four times in Solomon's prayer, he talks about your heaven as your dwelling place. And he talks about God's omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience. And therefore, he knows what's in the hearts of every man. Solomon also is not just addressing the children of Israel, but he addresses all peoples. And he clearly recognizes that God is a God of all, and not just the Israelites, his chosen people, but he is a God who can be called upon for salvation by all. Solomon acknowledges in his prayer that we're all sinners, and we need God. He says also in Ecclesiastes, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And so when we sin, if we confess that sin before God, then he hears in heaven and oftentimes will move in a mighty way. Some people say that the first prayer that God hears is a prayer of repentance. When we first come to him, acknowledging that we're sinners and we need him, and then God hears. And whenever that takes place, whether it's in a church, at an altar, or at a bedside, God hears in heaven. Think about that. How many people there are on this planet currently? He knows the thoughts and the hearts of each one. And whenever one turns toward him and confesses, he hears in heaven. I wondered, how much do we need Solomon's prayer today? If we compare what's going on today with his prayer, how much do we need it to pray like Solomon prayed? He first prayed for God's continued presence and protection. We certainly need the Holy Spirit, right? When we first become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in our spirit, and we are then labeled children of God, and we are present. He is living within us, helping us. And we need his presence when we come together for worship, for spiritual and physical protection from pandemics and from problems and from pain. We need him. The second thing that he prays about is condemnation of the wicked and vindication of the righteous. You know, the plans of the enemy is to foil us. He does everything he can to copy, to mimic, to demoralize the things of God. And so just as Jews pray towards the east, Muslims will pray towards the east. You know, whatever is happening in our society today with politics and within our culture, these are the plans of the enemy, because he knows his time is short. And he's stepping up his game. And so often, the godly need to be vindicated, whether it be from frivolous lawsuits or from whatever personal persecution is going on. We may not recognize the difficulty this pandemic is having in other parts of the world. There is great difficulties. People in Cambodia and Vietnam, various places of the world, they can't get to the banks, they can't get their money out, they can't go out If they go out, they'll be fined thousands of dollars. How do you provide for your family? How do you get food? The Army is promising to supply the food to them, but how can you rely on that? Think about what the Haitians are going through right now. It is tremendous difficulties, and we need God's help when the enemy plans against us. The third thing he asks is for deliverance upon confession of sin. And so we do need that. When we think about our own lives, we are weak and we fail and we sin. And we need to confess that to God. And we need to make a confession not just for ourselves, but also for our country. God hears a confession and then he acts. And he oftentimes gives repentance, gives that blessing of grace that we need. The fourth thing that Solomon prayed about is divine help in times of calamity. God knows that we're having quite a difficult time. There has not been more. This has been the worst fire season out west for forest fires. We have flash floods. They like to blame that on climate change, whether that is true or not. But we have all these things that are going on. Murderous hornets, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, you name it. It seems like they're all coming at once. And things might even get worse. We need divine help. We need, he prays about the foreigner. And we need help for the foreigners. We have more Hispanics in our country. The estimate is that the Hispanic population will eventually take over the African American population. And so we'll have even more Hispanics. I know just at my work, we have probably half a dozen Hispanic women who are excellent workers. Have come into our company just recent years. We have a number of illegal aliens among us. We have many Cubans, Africans, Haitians. Think about those whose families are here and they can't be in contact with their families there. And probably be having a lot more Afghans come and be settled. Mayor Hogan, or Governor Hogan, has invited Afghans to come to Maryland. And so there will be more and more people that will be residing with us who are not born here. And so we want to reach out to them. Solomon also prays for victories in future battles. And boy, do we need that one. We lost the battle in Afghanistan, the Taliban taking over. Many think we've lost the war on terrorism. We lost the war on the illegal drugs. And so we need God's help in future battles. And the last thing he prays for is national forgiveness. When we think of a nation that's filled with abortion, with sexual deviancy, with the demands for drugs, for the export of immorality, for crime and violence. Think about all these things that are prominent in our society today. We need God to forgive us as individuals, and as a community, and as a country. I think we need Solomon's prayer for today. It was a grand prayer. It was a prayer that showed power and knew that God would hear in heaven. The good thing is God keeps his promises. David's line has been secured. His kingdom will continue. The greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is now seated at the throne in heaven and is preparing a place for us. So think about that. Now, Solomon spent 7 years to prepare such a grand temple. I brought this along. This is just a little replica of the Holy of Holies. This would have been at the center of the temple. And you can just imagine the grandeur of such a building. 7 years to take to construct. Then Herod was known as the master builder, the great Herod the Great. They called him the Great because of all the building projects he had around the country. And he took and filled in and leveled up and built up the Temple Mount in order to construct the temple. If his time, this is the temple that Jesus went to when he was 12. This was the temple that the disciples knew. 46 years it took to build. Jesus has been in heaven 2,000 years. What a place he must be making for us. So when we cry out to God, when we confess our sin, God hears in heaven, and the Lord forgives. Praise be to God. Solomon's prayer and his blessing, I think, is a good example for us today. Now, let me give you five C's real quick. Convinced, coveting, committing, commanding, and committing to prayer. He was convinced of God's faithfulness, of who God was, and that God would keep his word. He had kept his word, and he would continue to keep his word. He was coveting God's presence and asking the Holy Spirit not to leave. He was committing our hearts to him and to walk in his ways, commanding us to keep his statutes, his laws, his judgments, and committing to prayer, daily practice and offerings, a witness for all. You know, the offerings that were made that day alone would have been staggering. There were so many sheep and bulls. Can you imagine all the sacrifice that was made? There must have been some dedication day. What a feast that lasted 14 days. Can you imagine if you had been there? The sights, the sounds, what it would look like. And Solomon, in all of his grand glory, kneeling before the God of the Lord God Almighty, before all the people, kneeling with arms raised up, with his voice raised in prayer and in blessing. And so this building was dedicated, I'm sure, with a special prayer back in 1853. And I trust that that prayer will continue to be a blessing, and that we, as a church of God, would rededicate our lives, rededicate our task to rebuilding the church and to serving the Lord. You know, when we humbly cry out to him, when we pray and confess, he hears in heaven and he will forgive. Would you pray with me, please? Great Lord God Almighty, King of the universe, you are awesome. We come before you this day asking you to forgive us of our sin as we confess them to you. Listen to the prayers made in this place, Lord. Hear our prayers in heaven and respond accordingly. God, would you be present in our lives? Would you give us a desire to do your will in everything? Lord, help us to have the ability to obey your commands, to keep your statutes and your laws and your judgments. Lord, help us with our daily needs and meet the needs of those they're experiencing disaster. God, we pray your kingdom would spread throughout all the world. Bless your people Israel, and bless us, Lord, your church, the children of God. We pray that you would move mightily in our day, as you did in Solomon's day. And we pray in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'd like to close our service today by singing number 430, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Would you join me in standing? And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, Lord, creatures here below. Praise him above heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Have a good week.